Hey, on the Greatest Years in Music, a very special guest tonight, John O'Donnell, Cold Chisel's manager, talking about the fantastic new release from the crew, Cold Chisel, Manly Vale Hotel, 7th of June, 1980, the live tapes, volume 3. John, pleasure to have you on the show tonight. Take us back, 1980, 36 years ago today. How much of the night can you remember? Because it would have been huge.
Well, I was in the crowd, so I was just a punter. So for me, I don't remember a lot except that Cold Chisel were always brilliant, and they were brilliant that night, but that was no surprise.
Was there a particular highlight of the show, something that you've just gone, love this?
I must say, when now managing Cold Chisel with John Watson, going back through the archive and finding things, and on this record, finding Shaken All Over, I do remember the band playing that numerous times in 1980 or around that time. But I hadn't heard a recording of it ever by the band. So when that pops up on a tape and you hear that back for the first time, it takes you back. And, you know, so I just totally remember that. Obviously, all the band's classics I saw many times. But to hear something like that, to hear Knocking on Heaven's Door, which I only saw them play once or twice, absolutely fantastic.
So what was the feeling like? I mean, you'd seen these guys as a punter, and then you'd end up being their manager. Was it a dream come true?
Totally a dream come true. Absolutely. You know, you don't project 20 years in advance and think I could be that guy. So I feel completely blessed. And they were a fantastic band to work with, as well as being amazingly talented musicians. So, you know, I think John and I inherited the great management of Rod Willis, their original and longtime manager. And the fact that he and the band had the foresight to record some of their shows, or a large number of their shows, onto multi-track tape and to film some of them is just incredible. So I take my hat off to those guys, and, you know, we're the beneficiary now, all of us, of the fact that they had that foresight.
And it was great that the 2-inch tape actually survived being in the archive, because we're talking a tape over 30 years old.
Yeah, it was pretty crusty. They had to bake it in an oven, as they do with these things. And I don't kind of know exactly what that does. I can't really define it. But a mastering engineer puts it in an oven for 36 hours. They bring it out. Then you transfer it to digital. And then Kevin Shirley, who was overseas and lives overseas, he just moved back to Australia. But he then worked his mixing magic just to kind of bring it. I mean, there's no tricks on there. It's as it all went down live on that night. But the fact that the tape survived is incredible. What's funny is they filmed this show as well, but unfortunately only the second reel, the last 9 songs, survived. Oh, wow. And we went digging everywhere. We called people who might have remembered or known or been there or been around the filming, but we couldn't find it, which is such a bummer.
Yeah, it certainly is. Hey, it was a busy week for the boys too, because across the same week they released East.
Yes.
What was your original thought when the album came out?
Oh, I think everyone hailed it as an absolute classic. It's gone on to become more of that, in, you know, as times sort of unfurled and songs revealed themselves to people. I mean, you know, you don't know that those things are going to be so special and that you're looking back on it in 36 years' time, you know. But always a great record to be let out by Standing on the Outside, to have the first single, you know, being Choir Girl some months before, then Cheap Wine just before the release. Chisel were clearly hitting incredible form. The songs of Don Walker had defined the band earlier. Now he was encouraging his bandmates to write, and you've got Jimmy coming up with Rising Sun and Phil Small coming up with My Baby. I mean, he was a band in killer form, really hitting their first peak, and it's all captured there quite rarely and specially in the week that East was released on this new live recording.
Now, John, take us back. I mean, the pub scene in 1980, far different to what it is now. The live Australian music scene, far different. Is there something that you miss, especially from that early time when Cold Chisel was really starting to form?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was a kid in the suburbs, and I could go to a show really 7 nights a week and see something special, either at my local pub or driving 20 minutes down the road to somewhere else. I mean, the fact that you could see Midnight Oil one night at the Manly Vale, the next night, Cold Chisel. The weekend after, you'd see the Angels. You know, that the Divinals, whoever in excess were coming through a year or two after that and actually opened for Cold Chisel many times. And you just go, that happens differently today. I'm not saying it's better or worse, but that frequency of connection with those great bands and the number of shows they played to become, you know, road-hardened and to test their songs in front of audiences. I think that does happen differently now, and we've lost something in the translation. It really was special. I mean, all of these bands probably should have been playing bigger venues and making more money, but it was a naive industry. People were learning, you know, what rock and roll, Australian rock and roll meant, and making it up as they go. And I think we were just lucky, or, you know, I felt lucky that I could see all these bands.
Well, Jimmy was quoted as saying back in 1980, they were playing 8 days a week, fighting fit and hungry, playing every show like it was our last. And often it almost was.
Yeah. Well, they were notoriously, you know, a testy band. There were very fierce personalities in that band, always pushing up against each other, but always coming out with great stuff because of that. But, you know, there's notorious stories of Steve and Jimmy, you know, the Glaswegian and the Liverpudlian kind of going head to head and getting into fist fights. Mossy would be turning up late and frustrating everybody. But, you know, that kind of energy and tension and different personalities clearly made them what they were.
It really did. How did the crowds go back in the 80s as well? Were there any times when you sort of thought, you know, the show's going well, they're really getting into it, but I'm starting to fear for my safety?
Yeah, it's funny because the thing of mosh pits hadn't really started then. So it was, you were jammed in, it was packed and sweaty. People were smoking in the venues. That doesn't happen now. You know, alcohol was being consumed in glasses. So, you know, there was all that. And if you trod on someone's foot or you bumped into them and spilt their beer, it was probably going to go off.
Yep.
But, you know, it has a different energy now. And we're also politically correct now. I think there were tons of fights going on. I never felt... Maybe I was just smart enough to know my limitations and stay out of people's way. But I never got into any blues. But, you know, sometimes it was definitely on the edge.
Well, we are stoked that the team has found these lost tapes, or I guess you could call them lost tapes, or at least these previous sessions. Cold Chisel, Manly Vale Hotel, 7th of June 1980, the live tapes, Volume 3, is out now. And I tell you what, for Cold Chisel fans, Christmas has well and truly come early. We've been catching up with John O'Donnell, who is the manager of Cold Chisel. John, we could talk to you for hours about the pub scene, about the way it was, about road stories, and possibly ask you a few questions about stories you probably never meant to repeat. But we just wanted to say thank you, mate, for this great chat, and we are stoked to see that a bit of Cold Chisel history has made light of day.
Yeah, no, we're very... excited and pleased that it survived, and thanks.